Hello, and welcome to the Lighthouse London podcast.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Tom.
And this week we're doing a sort of accompanying podcast to a blog post.
Yep, one from last week that we just put out there. Go and have a look. wearelighthouse.com/blog.
/
Dunno. Long URL.
blog post slug.
Yeah.
It's almost like the book and the audiobook, really.
Yeah.
Or more like a director's commentary.
Oh, that's amazing. That's
exactly what it is. Blog post, director's commentary. So the blog post in question...
Does that mean they have to listen to this as they're reading the blog post as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that bit there. That's a blooper. So the blog post in question, if you are going to read along, is called Just Do It.
Woo!
Whoa. How to Get Your Startup Idea Going Today.
That's strong, isn't it?
It's a very strong title. Makes me want to read.
Clickbait.
Yeah, absolutely. Clickbait, but with a tasty... It's a tasty bait.
It's lovely.
It's not like, oh, I'm on a
hook. Delicious.
It's like,
Also, nice. Slight trademark infringement there, which is always good.
Yeah, absolutely. If Nike do want us to change it,
not
we
going
will,
to.
Of course. Do you want any help with your website? Good in there. Good in.
That's our new marketing strategy.
Is it copyright infringement into new business? I like it. So, yeah, I suppose the point of this blog that we came up with was essentially that there's so many things you can do that don't need a web agency.
Yeah. Well, the very start of it was it's a new year, and a lot of this is a really busy time for ourselves and of people getting in touch with, they've had a startup idea in their mind for could be a couple of years or something or a while. And so it's like, it's January 2016, why don't you just go ahead and do it? You know what I mean?
Completely. And I think people...
People often don't come to us with everything completely thought out.
Absolutely. And if you say to yourself, I'm going to start something, when you haven't got a lot of knowledge of it, it's then a case of, okay, I've got the motivation. What do I actually do now?
Yep.
What is the first step? And I think people's perception of what the first step is in starting a digital business or building a product, their perception of the first step is that is all the things they don't know. So it's how to technically do it, what technologies to choose.
Yeah.
People come to us and I think sometimes they're like hung up on what hosting you're going to use and things like that. Because those are the things they consider to be outside of their knowledge. They've thought about the product, and these are the things that they think are the bits they need.
Yep, definitely.
And I think that's the wrong way around. I think actually those things are the easy part, really.
Well, they are, because you go to people and they help you with it. So you go to an expert in that field and they'll tell you what you need to know. You don't need to worry yourself with that, really. That comes later once you've probably built up your idea for what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first steps are you communicating that with someone else, essentially, or learning a lot yourself, but at some point you'll have to tell someone about all these things, so you need to learn as much as possible early on.
Yeah, completely. It's like all those, programming languages exist, hosting exists, web agencies exist. All those things are there. They're not risks. The things that doesn't exist is your business.
Yep.
Essentially, and that's something that you've got to do something about. And I think the things we, as you say, the going out there and learning, people actually think they've done that.
Yeah.
They think that their job is to be completely confident of their idea and have thought it out completely, and now the missing ingredient is the techie part.
Yeah, the techie part.
And what I think we want to say here is that is completely the wrong way around.
Yep.
The techie part isn't the hard bit. The learning is much harder than people think it is.
Definitely, yeah. Or there's always room to learn more, Like, no matter how much you've done, there's always new ways to find stuff out. And this is something you'll be doing all the way along the project. You're always going to be learning. You're always going to be... The techniques we described right now, you should be using all the time.
Completely.
It's just like a good way to get into approaching this stuff at every level.
Absolutely. Start getting practiced in these things. I think the good thing about them is they are just things people can do and can do straight away.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you don't need any...
You can do it immediately. You just need to have a little think and a pen and paper and go out and chat to people. It essentially is all you're doing.
Completely. So we break it down to three things. So a kind of path to having gone round in a loop, because as we'll discuss later, basically this thing creates a learning loop. TM. There, that's my trademark.
Wow.
I'll give you Just Do It Back night. We're going for learning loop. So simplifying your idea, I think, is the first thing we came up with.
Yeah, totally.
What's the opposite of this? Like, what are people needing to simplify?
Well, they just need to get this thing distilled into their head as easily as possible. So what a lot of people will come to us with is a big, long spec sheet of things that their app's going to do, what features it's going to have, all these different things they thought about that right now aren't really important. You need to make sure you've thought about the basics before you think about the complex parts of it. So it's all good to think, yeah, I'm trying to build this thing. Someone's got to log in. Someone's got to do this. They can have a thing they can click and like something, or all these mini interactions they'll do. That comes after time. But quite often, someone can't break down the actual essence of what their application service product is when you talk about this stuff. And that's really important. You've got to not get sidetracked in all these kind of complex little things that you've thought up that you think will be cool. You've got to really understand the problem you're trying to solve. You've really got to understand everything about your business from the very basic level.
Yeah, and I think more than just being cool, I think people get in their heads that these things are vital.
Yeah.
So someone will sit there going, well, the thing that's between me and this thing being successful is I want people to, say liking or something or whatever.
Yeah.
I want people to like, but in my app, they like in groups of people or something like this. And it's like, well, what happened if one of those people removes their like? What do the other people get told about it? And they get into these very intricate things about interactions within their product.
Yeah, definitely.
And they get obsessed with that.
Well, and they think that's what's going to sell their business, but it's not.
Absolutely. They think that's, and they see that as a necessity. And I think simplifying your idea is about saying, let go of that stuff, because people that build products all the time, the best people who build products, no one thinks in that manner. It's all about observing users, just working out what problems they've got, and then building features and keeping those features simple until you've seen someone use it, and then maybe it gets complex. But these people are always fighting that complexity, and to those people, that length of thinking about a single interaction would probably say to them, this is too complicated.
Yeah.
That would be a warning sign to them. So, it's the best people at doing this are not the people who can come up with those interactions with the most clarity. It's the people who know their audience the best. So simplifying the idea here, as you say, is about saying, let's just get back to the problem we're trying to solve. Don't worry that we can't think about what emails should be sent at what time to what people. We don't need to know that yet at all. And the key things we thought, what basic problem are you trying to solve? Why are you trying to solve it? And what assumptions have you made? People get scared that there's any risk at all. They think that this big spec is a nailed-on business. But that's fine. Assumptions are fine and risk is fine as long as you're aware of it.
Yep.
So to say, right, here's my business plan, here's the bits I'm worried about not working, is very healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you've got to know the areas that you're unsure of, because that needs to be tested. You don't want to push something out guessing why this is going to solve a problem. You need to work that out.
Yes.
There's also, people also come to us saying they've identified a service isn't doing something well and they want to sort of copy that. Who knows? I'm trying to think of one we had, but Pinterest isn't great. They've got an idea for a contender or something.
Yes.
And they often then just say, well, these are the features that are going to beat it. Make that. And it's like, well, no, that's not the reason to approach it. What you need to work out is why Pinterest, for instance, isn't good.
Absolutely.
But what problem they're trying to solve and how are you going to do that better?
Yeah.
And then you can come up with your features on top of that. You can do that kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's it. This approach can be applied to the whole problem, but it can also be applied to those little feature problems as well.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a great thing to get good at. So how someone would simplify it? Well, there's a lot of good thinking out there because, as I say, this is what the best people in the industry do. I would suggest something like the Lean Canvas.
Yep, definitely.
There's a link on the blog post.
We do that a lot with people who come through the door, and when we're kicking off projects or doing meetings with them, we go through that quite regularly.
It's basically putting your business idea down on one page of A4, and you do it in half an hour.
Yep.
And if you can't fill in this, it's like divided into 9 sections, which cover like customers, solution, revenue streams. I think it's too big for this podcast to go into it, but check it out. And the idea is that if you can't fill in a bit, you just move on, and that's left as an assumption. You know, that's something you need to check out.
Or
it's a very lightweight way of doing it.
It just identifies areas that you might not have thought about as well, because it's coming at all angles of this problem. And some of them you may not have even considered that option, and you do need to.
Completely.
It'll show holes in your plan.
Alongside that, I'd say a good book accompaniment to that is Running Lean.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. We'll put that in the show notes. And Value Proposition Design as well is another one we look at quite a lot. But so those are all ways to practically do what we've said there. So to help you just put down quickly on a piece of paper the basic problem you're trying to solve and who you're trying to solve it for, and map out the idea in that way.
And you'll always be referring back to this throughout the project. Completely. Life, you know, it'll always be the thing you use to base decisions on, and what you're going to make and all this kind of stuff.
And you can do it in half an hour. I mean, first time you do it, it might take a little bit longer than that, but it's essentially something you can do it in a day and you're started. You know, that's something that you can do, you don't need any help, and you can just get started on it.
Yep.
Having done that, the idea is that at the end of that, you're able to explain to someone what the idea is.
Yep.
In a sort of, I suppose, elevator pitch is the way, but you're not, you know, but just generally the vision. You know what needs to be tested. You know the assumptions.
Yeah, you definitely know at that time what you're unsure of, and the only way to really fix that problem is to talk to people.
Completely, and that's it. You're ready at that point to actually meet a potential customer.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to. Like, it's such an important thing to do. Any of these ideas, you've got to find your customer as soon as possible, and you've got to start asking them lots of questions.
Absolutely. Again, another thing is that you can't get in front of a customer until you've built the thing. Well, who made that rule? Because
it's not even true.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's why are you putting that limitation on yourself? Meeting a customer,
you're not demoing a product to them.
No.
It's quite important that you don't go to someone and just pitch an idea and say, do you like it?
Yeah.
You want to go to them, ask them about their experience of this industry. You need to take a step back in the same way you've done with simplifying your idea. You've got to go and ask them, you think they've got a problem with X. Go and ask them what their experience of using X is. You know, is it different to what you'd said? You know, is your assumption right? Or have you learned something different about how a user has a problem with that service or that product or even just that industry?
Absolutely. There is a format to how you should speak to customers. Mm. I mean, at first, don't worry if you don't know that format.
Oh, no. Like, I mean, you'll soon work out if you're getting good feedback, definitely.
But you know, I think getting good at talking to customers is completely vital.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. It's one of the most important things that I think people need to do. And it's really easy to get it wrong. I mean, we've made mistakes in doing interviewing and research, which has, you know, and you learn as you're doing it. And I think you'll soon work out the right sort of questions to ask.
And you get the confidence.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to do as well. Like, just to go, I mean, this is literally, you could go into the street and start talking to people on the high street. And that's, you know, it takes a bit of courage to go and do that. But you'll ease into it relatively quickly, and it's such a powerful thing to do, such a valuable thing to do.
And I think here as well, you'll find a lot of, you know, once you've started doing it, you'll find there's a lot of great resources out there. There's Running Lean again actually in that he describes problem interviews and solution interviews. So problem interview where you're trying to work out what people's pains are, then a solution interview where you're actually showing them a potential solution finding out what the reaction is. And you read a book recently.
Yeah, The Mum Test, or Mom Test.
Mom.
American spelling. Which was incredibly useful. I mean, really, I can't recommend it enough, actually. Most of the mistakes described in that book are probably what most people would do.
Mm.
And I think if you haven't read it, it will probably change the way you think about about conducting research, conducting interviews and that kind of thing. There's so much valuable information in there.
And so I originally thought it might be sexist, as in testing your things on your mum because your mum is rubbish. But then, actually, having looked at it...
It's questions you can even ask. So one of the things we mentioned in the blog post is these people you chat to early on can't be members of your family. They can't be your friends because those people are biased towards you doing well. Yeah. Your mum's always going to tell you that your idea is great. But actually, the point of this book and the name of it is that you can even ask your mum these questions and she'll give you meaningful feedback.
Yeah, that's
it. Which is a great way to think about it.
Because that's the thing. Another thing people often come to us with is you say, have you researched this at all? And the answer would be, oh yes, we've done some market research.
Yep.
And I think market research is fine, but actually the sort of research we're talking about is where you're actually delving a bit deeper. And again, I would look at some of the resources we've linked to, especially that mom test book, which just says you've got to get that bias out of things. Don't your friends and family are going to want you to succeed. That's their role. Their role is to be supportive.
Yep.
But actually, when you're deciding what a product should be, you don't just want people who are telling you to do it regardless. You want customers who actually want what you're offering.
Yeah, and I mean, the book also really helps you remove bias from your questioning.
Right, okay.
So on the other side as well, like, you're probably really passionate about this idea and you really want it to, you want to be proved right.
Yeah.
From your assumptions. So it's very easy to ask questions that give you the answers you want. So really, the many of the techniques and lines of questioning that you'll read in the book are getting rid of that and really getting honest answers from people to sometimes difficult questions, which mean you could be proved wrong. But that's a really good thing. Any time you're proved wrong, it's going to save you a lot of headache later on, a lot of problems. You need to work out what people actually want, and this is the way to do it.
And web agencies, by the way, will also just tell you to go and do it.
Oh, good, yeah.
That's again, going and saying to someone who you're potentially going to pay to build something, do you think it's a good idea to build it? No matter how ethical they are, there's a clear bias there that you can't.
Of course,
you
there
can't,
is. Yeah,
you can't
definitely.
Guess past. They're not a customer, so their views actually don't count.
And it doesn't matter that they're being. Some people get involved in different ways, but they can build the thing for you.
Yeah.
It's your job to communicate to them what the problem is, how it should be solved. They'll come up with the technical implementation of it. But you need to know this stuff yourself. It's so important that you know it.
Absolutely. And once you've done that, the next step is to make something. Pure and simple, just make it. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Done. Then just code it,
Then code it.
Just do it.
But that's not right, is it?
That's not right at all.
No, because this has to be something that they can do without us, Tom.
So, I mean, we talk a lot about how founders shouldn't be coders, how getting stuck into code straight away is a really bad thing to do. But making something is a good idea. You're going to have a lot of ideas in your head. Every time we speak to someone about these kind of things, everyone's talking about all this cool stuff they might do, all these problems they need to solve, the ways they might solve it. It's good now that you've done all this research and talking and learning to get something down on paper or however you want to do it to then help illustrate what you're trying to do to potential partners. Could be investors, it could just be people who are going to give you a bit more feedback. Having something for people to look at is really going to help you explain what you're doing, and there's a load of ways you can do that without needing to code anything, without any technical skill at all. Stuff that, pen and paper is good.
Yep.
You can just draw stuff. A wireframe on a piece of paper is great. You can make a PowerPoint presentation, which works as a good prototyping tool.
Just some messaging.
Start writing stuff, definitely.
Well, if you've done the lean canvas, then you've already got something there.
Yep.
But this is more about something you might put in front of someone. So, just mock up a landing page, mock up a way that one of the interfaces might look. It's I suppose the complicated end of this, people would start calling it prototyping, but to me that scares people. They're like, I can't build a prototype. What we're literally talking about is just get crafty and just kind of create this thing on a screen somehow.
Definitely.
Doesn't matter if you can't design.
Or one little
design.
Bit of it. It could be anything. Exactly. Anything that helps illustrate the point.
The key value, that's it. You really want to just illustrate the key feature, the one thing that through this learning, through this customer interviews you've done, the one thing you think everyone wants.
Yeah.
Now it's time to put that back in front of them in a format that looks like it's something someone might use. And
also the fact is that the technology is not the most important thing. Like, messaging and how things look is really important. So start making mood boards, write some stuff down, write your headlines down, write what your elevator pitch is down. That, and you can test that with people. You could go out in the street again and ask people about what you've written and the way you're trying to tell your story. That, it's so important to get that right early.
Yeah.
Rather than worrying about what colour it's going to be or, what the website looks like. It's not ready for that yet.
Yeah. At this point, it's time to put back in front of people what you've learned and see if what you've learned stands up.
Yeah.
Because that is that's how you learn more. That you show someone a screen, and people worry about how well designed it is. It really doesn't matter. In fact, I'd even argue that it doesn't have to look good. And in fact, sometimes looking good can be a hindrance almost. The reaction, you don't want someone to go, "Oh, that looks cool." You want someone to say, "Oh, that sounds useful.
Well,
that might solve my problem." And despite it looking rubbish, I think it might solve my problem.
Well, if it looks rubbish and they connect with it, engage with it, then you know you're onto something. But if you show them something that looks cool, but they're just focused on the nice colourful blobs and the illustration you've got or whatever it is, and not thinking about what it's saying or what it's offering, then that's a failure, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, as you know, there's a great blog post we read recently by the Happy Startup School, who do a lot of this kind of stuff. And definitely if you're looking to start out, looking to work out how to get started before you go about building something, you could do a lot worse than looking at them. They run courses, they write loads on it.
Some good, great stuff on their blog. It's a good one to follow.
Completely. So we'll put a link to that as well. The idea then is that you've gone through those three steps. You've kind of worked out what the core value is and the core vision for the thing. You've actually met someone that you're trying to solve that problem for, and then you've shown them something that you've made are going to make...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. At that point, you've learned something. If you haven't learned anything at that point, then I don't know, you weren't doing it right, or you believe so much in this idea that you're never going to actually listen to anyone, and that's not going to lead to a successful business. So you'll have learned something. So what do you do then? Well, basically, you feed that back in. So you go back to the vision.
Yep.
And you feed in what you've learned to it. So you tweak it. Is it aimed at the right customer? Have the customers told you there's an angle to it you might want to change? Are you proposing it in the right way? Did you think it would be because it was going to be cheaper than everything else, but now you've found out that people don't care about price, so you can take that out of the vision.
Yeah.
You tweak that vision. Then you go back and talk to the customers, and you update this thing you've made.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you essentially just keep going around that cycle until something's sticking, until you're hearing the same things, until you get it. And that is the point to say, I should build that.
Definitely, yeah.
Because that's the point where... And that's how it would have worked for every startup you can mention.
Completely. And, well, they might have got there much later than we're saying you will be able to.
A lot of people fluke demand. This I would say now is how startups work. I think a lot of startups that are there and established, they'll have fluked this.
Yeah.
They'll have accidentally built something that customers wanted. They were probably trying to build something else.
Yeah.
But and then they realised, it was that other thing we built that people wanted. Maybe we should listen to customers more.
Yeah.
And so now those people are absolute experts in how to do this process.
Definitely.
You're not scrimping and being cheap by just going and doing this stuff. It's not like, if I could afford an engineer, then obviously I'd use an engineer. No. Engineering is expensive, whoever you are. If you're Google, it's expensive for everyone. Google can afford it, but it's expensive for everyone. So,
but they don't want to waste money.
No one wants to do it
in the right way. It's not like Google having all the money in the world just throws cash at stuff that they know is not going to necessarily work.
And it won't work. And that's why this is such a healthy way of thinking. Is because even when you've got money and got users and are successful, you won't stay successful unless you follow this kind of path of working out what you're trying to deliver and making sure that your customers are on board with it. So that is basically, that was basically the blog post. And I just think what's great about it is that someone can just literally turn this off now and just do, like, just there's nothing to stop someone doing this stuff.
Yeah, just clear your afternoon and do it. You know, I mean, it's not rocket science, actually.
No.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The techniques are easy. Mm. The actual thing of defining a vision and building a product people want, that's not easy.
That's not easy at all.
But you shouldn't even see that as a thing you can actually, there's no end point to solving that, right?
No.
You don't go, oh, I've done it, this is what customers want. You know, what customers want is always changing, and that's why this is something you've got to keep going around and have involved.
And with the right approach to it, your customers will tell you this stuff for you. You know, it's not down to you to come up with this grand plan that, you know, you're the genius or whatever.
Yeah,
your customers will tell you what they want. You
Absolutely.
Just have to make it, and you've got to learn this way of working to give you the best chance of getting the right answers out of them.
Absolutely. So go and do it. And
then come and see us.
Get back in touch with us and tell us what you made and how you found it.
Any time anyone comes through the door, this sort of stuff already done, it's brilliant. We just love to sit down and look at what people have been doing and what they've been building themselves and all the things that they've put into stuff. It's excellent.
Oh yeah, and it will jumpstart the project. You know, it will jumpstart any project that we do. So people. Having a grip of this stuff and this way of working is just going to help everything once you start bringing other people on board, and letting other people know what the vision is. Go and do it. Let us know how it went. You can get onto us at We Are Lighthouse on the Twitter.
Yeah, drop us an email, hello@wearelighthouse.com. You can find us on Facebook.
We're
if
on
you
the
really
Facebooks.
Want. Yeah.
And we're on the LinkedIn, so
we're on them all.
We're on everything.
But wearelighthouse.com. Come and have a look at what we do if you don't know already. That's about that.
Great. All right.
Awesome. Music was by Encompass Sound. Thank you very much, guys. And that's it.
Bye.
See ya.